Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Zayin. We left off toward the bottom of daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. The majority of Amud Aleph today is going to tell a story. We left it on Amud Beis when we were discussing how we know that Rechitza and Sicha are called an Inui. So we quoted a pasuk in Daniel where Gavriel, the Malach, says to Daniel that now he's come, Vani Basi Bidvarecha, that I've come because of your word. So what in the world was he referring to when he says Ani Basi Bidvarecha? That's what the majority of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph is about, the story behind that phrase, Vani Basi Bidvarecha. In the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, we're going to have two more sources that Rechitza is called Inui, three sources that Ni'ilas HaSandal is called Inui. The reason we need so many sources is because we reject all the earlier ones, so we're going to have two more sources, means we reject one of them, we accept one of them, three sources that Ni'ilas HaSandal is called Inui, because we're going to reject the first two of them, and then on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, a source that Tashmish Hamita is called Inui, and how we know for sure that that source is an accurate source. And the rest of Amud Beis is pretty much some exceptions to the rule of the Isser to do Rechitza and the Isser to do Sicha. That when it would be different cases where it might be permissible under different circumstances. So we left off in the first wide line of Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Mai Va'ani Basi Bidvarecha. What does he mean? What does Gavriel mean when he says Va'ani Basi Bidvarecha? What happened that allowed Gavriel to now come through his words of Daniel? So Hainu Duchsiv, that's what the pasuk says. V'shiv Mishmizik Nebeisol V'yazniyahu Ben Shafan Omid B'tzocham Omdim Lefnehem. They were standing in front of idols. V'ishmak Torasu Biyado V'atara Nan HaKtoras Ola. They were all standing there with Ketores and they were burning Ketores for the idols. So Klal Yisrael is doing some terrible things. V'yishlach Tavnas Yad V'yikachene B'tzitzas Roshi. So Yecheskel Navi describes how the form of a heavenly hand, so to speak, came out and took him by a lock of hair on his head, Vatiso si ruach bein ha'aretz uvein ha'shamayim, and a wind lifted me up between the heavens and the earth, Vatovo si Yerushalayma b'maros elikim al pesach shara pnimis hapona tzafona asher shomosh of semelakina mekane, and I got to see right by the gateway of the Beis Hamikdash, Vayavio si el chatzar Beis Hashem apnimis, and I was brought to the chatzar Beis Hashem inside, v'inei pesach heichal Hashem bein ha'ulam bein ha'mzveach chesrum chamisha ish. And what I saw there was horrifying, that there were 25 people with their backs faced to the Heichal Hashem, upneim kedma, and they were facing toward the east, and they were bowing toward the sun with their backs toward the Heichal Hashem. This is referred to in the Gemara Masech HaSukkah by the Beis HaShoeva, that it was something that they would make a big deal out of, that we are not like our forefathers who faced their backs toward the Heichal Hashem and faced toward the sun to be mishtach, that we face toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Sukkah makes a major statement about that they used to say that by the Beis HaShoeva. So, but this was the sin, that they were facing back toward Hashem and they were bowing to the sun. So, it already says Pneim Kedma. So, don't I realize that Achareim El Heichal Hashem, that their backs are to the Heichal? Elamatam Lomar Achareim El Heichal Hashem. Why does the pasuk have to specify that Achareim El Heichal Hashem? Isn't it obvious when it says Pneim Kedma that it's already Acharei Malechal Hashem? So Melamed, this teaches us that it must have been something else. The fact that Acharei Malechal Hashem must have involved something more than just turning their backs Alechal Hashem, that they did something else that was despicable because of their backs being Alechal Hashem, or that was only enabled by their backs being Alechal Hashem. Melamed Shayuporin Atzman Vayumatrizim Klapi Mata. They exposed themselves and defecated toward the Hechal Hashem. They were Mevaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, and not only by bowing in the other direction, by bowing to the sun, but by defecating in the direction of the Heichal Hashem. Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMichael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not too happy about this, so he calls over Michael and he says, Michael, Sarcha Umascha, Michael, your nation is turned sour, they've done some bad things. Marsha explains, Michael is the Sar of Yisrael. Every nation has a Sar. Michael is our Sar. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is a little bothered by this. How does it, what do you mean? Michael Yisrael is a Sar. Ein Mazel Yisrael. Yisrael is B'nai HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shouldn't we be directly under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do we need a Sar for? So Ben Yoyad explains that Michal is the Sar of Yisrael when we're not Osim Ritzon Shalmakom. So, but when we're Osim Ritzon Shalmakom, then Ein Achinami, we don't have a Sar Lamala. Only when we're in Osim Ritzon Shalmakom, then we need a Sar, and then Michael is our Sar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michael, that your nation that you are in charge of is doing some very bad things. So right away, Amar Lefan of Ribono Shalom Daya L'Tovim Shabem. So Michal says, okay, at least leave the tzaddikim alone. So punish the people who are doing the bad things. Amar Lo Ani Sorry for some Ula Tovim Shabem. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm going to punish them and the good guys amongst them. So Tos Yishanim points out, based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Nun Hayam and Aleph, that even the Tovim Shabem have to be punished together with everybody else, because Hayu Biyadim Limchos V'Lo Michu, meaning anyone who has the ability to object and to stop people from their bad behavior, but just decides that they're not going, they don't want to mess, they don't want to get involved, they don't want to bother with it, they're just going to keep their head down and do their own thing, so they're deserving of punishment as well. I think the Gemara says that in the context of was Parasel Shablazer that the Yotzei Beritzua Ben Karnav, the Mishnah says that the para of one of the Tanaim walked out with the Ritzua Ben Karnav on Shabbos. Says, how could the holy Tana violate such an issue? No, he didn't violate the issue. One of his neighbors did, and he didn't say anything about it. So anyone who's Yesh Be'adam Lumchos and is not and doesn't do anything about it, it's Kilu they did the Avera. The Iyun Yaakov just adds that it's also Mida Keneged Mida over here. What was the Avera? They were Maktir Ketores to the Avodah Zarah. The element of Ketores, what Ketores represents, is that everybody's together. The Tzadikim, the Rishayim, the sweet-smelling spices, the bad-smelling spices, they're all together. So they're going to be together in punishment as well. In Maseches Baba Kama and Daf Samach, it says that Ein Pronos Ba'al Yolam El Bizman Shah Rishayim Bi'olam, but Ein Maschela Salman at Tzadikim Tchila. That Pronos only comes because of the Rishayim, but it's felt by Tzadikim first. So this is something that does happen, that Tzadikim suffer on account of the Rishayim. Kivin Shnita Rishus L'Mashchis Eino Mavchin Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really angry and he gives Rishus L'Mashchis, he allows the Mashchis to go and to be destructive, so it doesn't distinguish between Tzadik and Rasha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy all of them, I'm going to burn all of them, the Tzadikim and the Rishayim alike. Miyad, so right away, the Pasuk goes on and says, Ve'yomer Ela Ish L'Vush Habadim. So he says to the Ish L'Vush Habadim, Rashi says that's a reference to Gavriel. Gavriel is always referred to in Sefer Daniel as a little Vushabadim. Vayomer Boel Binos Gilgal Tachas Lekruvim Leichav Nechagach Leish Mi Binos Lekruvim Zrok Aleir Vayav Aleinai. So and Gavriel was commanded to take a handful of coals from Bein Kruvim, from underneath the Kruv, and to throw that on to Klal Yisrael to burn them. Miyad Vayishlach Kruvis Yado Mi Binos Lekruvim Ela Eish Asher Binos. What happened? Gavriel didn't reach in himself. He asked the Kruv to grab a handful of Gachelas and give it to him. So it was handed over to Miyad Liyad. It wasn't in the Kli Rishon like it was supposed to be. So it was already in a Kli Sheni, so to speak. It went from the hand of the Kruv to the hand of Gavriel. So Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Il Moli Lo Nistanenu Gachela Miyado Shel Kruv Liyado Shel Gavriel Lo Nistanenu Misoneim Shel Yisrael Sar Dupalit. With that move, by Gavriel having the Kruv pick it up instead of himself pick it up, he saved Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would have been completely decimated, completely destroyed, had the coals been hot enough, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, to take it himself. So by telling the Kruv to take it instead, he had saved Klal Yisrael by doing that, by putting it in the Kli Sheni. Uksiv, Yinei Ish Levush Abadim Asher HaKesus B'mastav Meshav Dabar Lemor Asisi Kasher Tzivisani. And the Pasuk says that the Levush Abadim, the Gavriel goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, okay, mission accomplished. You told me to take the Gachelis and throw it at Klal Yisrael. I did exactly like you said. That's when Gavriel was punished. Gavriel was sent out and was whipped with 60 lashes of fire. And the Eitz Yosef explains, why Dafka 60? Where does the number 60 come from? So he says, in Bezen Shalmata, how many lashes do we give? We give Arbaim Chasarachas. We give 39 lashes. But it's not really 39. The Gemara Makkah says, it has to be Meshulash. We give 13 times 3. We do in 3 different spots on the back, and each one is 13. At what age can one do an Avera where he becomes Chayv Malkus? At the age of 13. That's why the number 13 is significant. So we do 13 three times. In Bezin Shalmaila, when does a person get punished? At what age is a person Chayiv Kares? In Bezin Shalmaila, a person gets punished at the age of 20. So by Bezin Shalmaila standards, 20 is the critical number. So how many Malkus do they give? 60 Malkus, 20 times 3. I guess Malachim are subject to that as well. It's not just for people. But that's what the Eitz Yosef says. That's where the number 60 comes from. So Amrulei, Ilo Avadit, Lo Avadit. So they said to Gavriel, listen, if you didn't want to do the job, so then don't do the job. And you know what? Rashi says, Vayinu Matzdikim Oscha, you would have been a hero. If you would have refused God's order to do the job, to punish Klal Yisrael, you know what you would have been? You would have been Yonah. You would have been someone who can't bear to do something that's going to hurt Klal Yisrael. So, but Iavadit, Amelo Avad Kidipakducha, but if you're going to do it already, then you have to do like you're commanded. I mean, if you're going to punish Klal Yisrael, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so then you have to do it like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You can't bring in a middleman to cool down the coals. And aside from that, even if you did it, you don't go back and report that you did it. Who goes back and shares such destructive and bad news? I saw the Duvil, Sarah de Parsai, Vukme Becharike. So Gavriel was now demoted, and Duvil, the Tsar of Paras, was put in his place. The Gemara refers to the Parsiim as Misravali Basar Kedov, that they're weighty and full of flesh like a bear. So that's why probably their malach is called Duvil. So so Duvil, the Tsar of Paras, was took his place. Vishimish Asram Ve'echad Yom, and he served for 21 days. Haynu Duchsiv V'Tsar Malchus Paras Omid L'Negdi Asram Ve'echad Yom V'Nei Michal Echad Asar Marishonim Bola Azreni Vanino Sarti Sham Eitel Malchay Paras, that the Tsar Paras stood in my place for 21 days. Michal helped me out, but I was by the Malchei Paras. Yavulei Asur Mechad Malchi Uparvasa Demashig. So they gave the Tsar of Paras 21 kings over to control for each of the 21 days that he was in charge, and also the Parvasa Demashig, a port where boats go. So Amar Ksivili Yisrael Ba'akarga. So once the Tsar of Paras was in charge, he said, "Oh, good, I want to make a new tax on the Jewish people." So Kasvulei. So he got to do that. They wrote him a new tax for the Jewish people. Ksivli Rabbanan Ba'akarga. So he said, "I'd like also to have the rabbis be charged this head tax." So Kasvulei. He charged them that as well. That was also got written for them. There's an interesting discussion in the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra, which taxes Rabbanan have to pay and which ones they don't have to pay. The Gemara Masechet Baba Basra says that Tamid Chachamim lo tzrichi nitirusa, that any tax that's there to protect people from invading armies and things like that, Chacham don't need, because the Torah will serve to protect them. The Torah that they learn, Anichama v'shadai k'magdalos, the Torah Tamid Chacham learn, serves as protection. There is a machlokas aposkim over about karga. Karga, I believe, is a head tax. So that's based on the individual. It's not paying for security. It's not paying for a wall. It's just based on the individual. So when you have a head tax, it's machlokas aposkim whether Rabbanan are required to pay that tax. So it's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya and Choshem Mishpat. This when you have a Jewish community that's in charge of their own taxing, so do Rabbanan have to pay that tax? So the question that some of the Achronim ask, Tosfos Yom Kippurim asks, is how could it be that up in Shemayim they're going to write a tax against the Rabbanan Karga if you hold like those Shittos that the Rabbanan are not chayiv to pay this tax? It's against the Halacha. So Tosfos Yom Kippurim explains that no, the Karga could be placed on the Tamid Chachamim. The question is, who's going to pay it? Either the Tamid Chachamim pay it, or somebody, if you hold that Tamid Chachamim are chayiv to pay it, then they pay it. Otherwise, other people would have to pay it for them. We'd have to be extra taxes and everybody else to pay it for them. So Be'idna Debal L'michtam, when they were about to sign these taxes into law, Amar Gavriel Me'achorei Apargod. So Gavriel comes up from Me'achorei Apargod Va'amar, and he says the following pasuk Shav Lechem Mashkim Eku Me'achorei Shevas Ochle Lechem Ha'atzavim Kein Shiniteim liyedido shena. So what's he referring to? So the Gemara tells us my kain yitein liyedido shena, that you should give to your beloved shena. Amrav Yitzchak elu nosho sein shal temel chamish aminado shena bal mazeh v'zalcha salam abba. This is a reference to the wives of Talmidei Chachamim that keep sleep away from their eyes in Olam Hazeh and are Zocha to Olam Abba, because they're always staying up for their husbands to come back from the Beis Medrash, and they're supporting Torah. By their support of Torah, they're going to be Zocha to Olam Abba. So he says, for the Zchus of the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim, it's interesting that he says the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim, not the Talmidei Chachamim themselves. So Rashi, I think, says that Afna shall say Menadol Sheinim Inein, and certainly the Talmidei Chachamim themselves, even more so, you know, that they're actually sitting and learning. I think I saw once, maybe Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, maybe, I'm not sure where I saw, but that Adrabba, the Nashosem Shal Talmidei Chacham, maybe it's a Gemara, I don't remember, that the Nashosem Shal Talmidei Chacham have a greater zechus, because the Talmud Chacham, very often, he's going to go to learn. So he tells his wife, I'm going out to learn, I'll see you in a few hours. So does he learn for the full few hours? Maybe yeah, maybe no, you know, maybe he takes a coffee break, maybe he battles a little bit, shmuz with the chavrusa a little bit. So he doesn't get schar for every single minute, because he's not learning for every single minute. But the wife is being mosa nefesh to not have him around and to have him in the base medrash every single minute. So in a certain sense, her schar is greater, because she's not in charge of whether he's going to be battling or not, but he's in charge of that. So that's maybe her schar. But even that schar, even the schar of the Nashim Tzidkanios didn't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested. Amar lefan of Ribbono Shlom, im yu kol chachma yumas ha'olam bekaf mazayim, v'daniel ish chamudus bekaf shniya, lo nimtzu machriyas kulam. So finally Gavriel says to Ribbono Shlom, if you were to put all of the chachamim of the whole rest of the world on one side of the scale, and you put Daniel ish chamudos, just one Jew, you put Daniel on the other side, aren't Daniel's zechuyos great enough to outweigh everybody else put together? So how could it be that you're going to punish Klal Yisrael? You have this one Jew that's worthy of everything. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi hu zeh shemelamed zuchus al banai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu right away says, who is this that's being melamed zuchus for my children? He hears this voice. Who is this that's being melamed zuchus? Amar lefanav ribono shalom, Gavriel. They said, ribono shalom, it is Gavriel who's being melamed zuchus. Amar lehem, yavo, let Gavriel come back. Shenemar va'ani, Basi bidvarecha. That's the background to this story. That Gavriel is saying to Daniel, it's bidvarecha, when I spoke about you, that ani basi, that I was able to come back. I was sent away me'achare apargod, but now I was able to come back. So amaluhu leil. So they said, okay, let him come up. Let him go back to his previous position. Ailuhu. So they brought him back. Asa ashche luduvil denakadai li'igarte biyade. So Gavriel comes back and he sees that in just 21 days he's gone, and already Duvil has a gazette against Klal Yisrael with the taxes in his hand and ready to be signed and delivered. So Gavriel starts chasing after him to take it from him. Bala. So Daniel swallows it. So that way Gavriel won't be able to get it. Some say that, but when Daniel swallowed it, it was already written, but it wasn't yet signed. So it wasn't in full force yet. And others say, no, it was actually signed. But Kedabale, but when he swallowed it, so then it became erased. So now it's no longer signed. That's why in the Malchus of Paras, sometimes the taxes are collected, sometimes not. Sometimes it's a more serious problem, sometimes it's not. So it's because this Gezerah was there, but it was weakened by Duvil swallowing it. So that's why it never took full force. But Gavriel says, you know, once the Tsar of Yavon takes over, then I'm finished. I'm Tzak and Tzavach, as Rashi says, Tzak, but Tzavach Gavriel alzos shloyim shlu Malchei Yavon b'Yisrael, that the Malchei Yavon shouldn't have full control of Klal Yisrael, but lo Ashkech Bey, there's no one listening. The Malchei Yavon are able to make a zeros that are very effective and that are very strong and that hurt Klal Yisrael very badly. But what was this great zechus that Gavriel had to be able to come back? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu focus on? That who's being melamed zechus al banai? It was the same mistake that he made the first time, that instead of being melamed zechus al banai, he just did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and he was more than willing to punish. So that's why it was that was his tshuva. His tshuva was to dafka be melamed zechus al banai. The Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Yud Ches that the fact that we see that Gavriel was only readmitted me'achorei apargod when he was melamed sanegori al Yisrael, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves more than anything else people who are ohevei Yisrael, people who love Klal Yisrael. As the more a person can work on his avas Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put him in a position to be in a position of authority. A person could have Gabriel obviously does have other zechuyos or whatever, but a person could have no other zechuyos, but his avas Yisrael will give him a certain koach to be in a position of power. So that's the, he says, those are the true leaders of Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu want, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, that people who are most of themselves over for the sake of the shalom of Klal Yisrael, and are always mispalel on Klal Yisrael. So Gemara Mako says that the Taina of the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara Mako Tafid Aleph, the Taina on the Kohen Gadol, that he should have been Mevakesh Rachim Aldorim, and he's not Mevakesh Rachim, and that's why it's his fault, so to speak, that there are murders that are committed, Bishogeg, that people end up in Yer Miklat. It's placed on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol because he could have been Mevakesh Rachim, and that's always the job of the Manhige Yisrael, to be worried about Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara says further now that was the whole story with Gavriel. So now we move back to the discussion of Inuy on Yom Kippurim, the five Inuyim on Yom Kippurim. So Viva, one more thing. I just noticed this morning that in Chashuke Chemed, Rav Silberstein was asked the question that if it's such a great Midah to protect Klal Yisrael and to be Melamed Zechus al Klal Yisrael, so would that trump anything else in terms of pointing a Shliach Tzibur for Yom Narayim? So you have two people who could be Shliach Tzibur. One is a Muflag B'Torah, and the other one is not such a Muflag B'Torah, but he protects Klal Yisrael. So being admitted Me'achorei Apargo, it sounds like you get the Ribbono Shalom's ear. The whole idea of Tefillah is that you want to be Lefnei Hashem, is that you're supposed to be Lefnei Hashem. So it's interesting, the Rama writes, V'yidaktiku lachzar achar Shliach Tzibur Hayosar Hagun V'yosar Gadol B'Torah U'maisim She'ef Shalim Tso. That you should find the Shliach Tzibur that's greater in Torah. It sounds like a greater B'Toru B'Maisim, yeah, but where's the Sanegoria Al Yisrael? That Midah doesn't seem to be highlighted by the Rama. But maybe Enochinami, maybe that Taka would come first because of based on this Gemara. So that's at least he has a longer discussion about it, but not for now. So says Gemara further. So we're talking about the Chamesh Inuyim. Aside from yesterday's source about how we know that Rechitza is called an Inuy, because yesterday's source again didn't actually use the word Rechitza. It was from the Sachlo Sachti. It was the double expression of Sicha in the Pasuk. So he said, okay, one expression of Sicha relates to actual Sicha, and the other one must relate to Rechitza. But we have other explanations the Gemara is going to bring right now, two other possible explanations of how I know that Rechitza is Inuy. So either Mehacha, the first of the two is the following, the Chsiv, Uli Avyasar HaKohen Amar HaMelech, to Avyasar HaKohen, the Melech says, Anosos Leich Al Sadecha, Ki Yishmaves Ata, Uvayom Ezel Lo Amischa, you're an Ishmaves, but I'm not going to kill you right today, Ki Nesasa Es Aron Hashem Lefnei David Avi, because you carried the Aron Hashem in front of my father David, V'chi Yisanisa B'chol HaShar Esana Avi, and you suffered with all the suffering that my father had, Uksiv Bebe David, and it says about David, knew what kind of suffering did David have, what kind of Inuy, Ki Amra Am Ra'av V'ayef Itzame Ben Midbar, he was Ra'av Ayef and Tzame. So what does that mean? Ra'av milechem. Tzama mimayim. Ra'av means he didn't eat food. Tzama means he didn't drink when he was on the run. Ayef mimayim. But what does ayef mean? Lav mirechitza doesn't mean that he didn't bathe. So you see that bathing is an inuy, because it says that Avyasar was going to suffer the same inuyim that David suffered. So whatever David suffered was an inuy. And we describe one of the things that David suffered was ayef. So you see that not bathing is an inuy. Says no. How do you know that it's about bathing? It doesn't say, it just says ayef. It doesn't say bathing. So maybe that means not wearing shoes. Maybe that's what David suffered from. Elam Rav Yitzchak Miachas. Rav Yitzchak says it's got to be a different source. The source is Mayim Karim al Nefesh Ayefa. Pasuk says cold water on a Nefesh Ayefa. How do we solve ayef? It's not really a different source. It's a building off of the previous source. How do I know that ayef means that a person doesn't bathe? Because how do you solve ayef? You use Mayim Shem Karim. Vidilma Mishtia. Maybe that's how you solve a yef that you're just tired, you need to drink. So Miksiv bin Nefesh Ayefa al Nefesh Ayefa. It doesn't say in the soul, it says on. So drinking is inside a person's body. A person ingests it in a person's body, but bathing is on a person's body. So at the end of the day, the Gemara learns the Isser Rechitza Mishim Inoy from the Pasuk Mayim Karmel Nefesh Ayefa. It's just that we know that Ayef means Rechitza and not Shtia from the fact that it says Al Nefesh Ayefa, not Bin Nefesh Ayefa. So Tosi Shadim says, wait a second, why does the Gemara need to be Medayik for Lashon of the Pasuk? By David, it can't be that Ayef means that he needed to drink. Because by David, what did he say? There were three problems. He was Rav, he was hungry, Sama, he was thirsty, and the Ayef. So the thirst is accomplished by drinking. So it's not possible that the word Ayef in this context means that he was thirsty. So Tosfos Yom HaKippurim suggests that the Maksha must have thought that Ayef and Tzameh are two types of Shtia. There are some people that are thirsty more than others, and that's called Ayef. It's a different Madrega of thirst. They have to say something like that, because otherwise, what would be the difference? It would be impossible to say by David that Ayef means thirst. There's already another word for it. Okay, V'nilas HaSandal Minalan. How do I know that there is an Isser of Nilas HaSandal? And Nilas HaSandal is an Inuy as well. So the Gemara is going to have three sources for Ni'ilas HaSandal. So we have, first is the following. D'chsiv, V'david olu b'mala azesim, olu b'ocha v'rosh lo chafoy, what's the gears over here? V'hu holech yachaf. That he's going yachaf. So what does that mean? Yachaf mimai. Lav min il sandal doesn't mean barefoot, that he doesn't have shoes on. So you see that that's an inoy, because whatever David suffered is called an inoy. So says Mervidumi Susu Martaka. Now a king normally goes out with horses. So maybe what we would call barefoot is if we're not wearing shoes. But a king barefoot, a king doesn't have his horses. He's considered to be barefoot. So Ella, rather a second source. Ella Rav Nachum Reitzak Mehacha. Maybe it's based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Lech ufitachta hasak me'al masnecha, v'nalcha tachlots me'al reglecha, v'yasa kein haloch arom v'yachef. So again, Lech ufitachta hasak me'al masnecha, v'nalcha tachlots me'al reglecha, uksiv, v'yasa kein haloch arom v'yachef. Yachef mimai, what does yachef mean? Lav minil sandal doesn't mean that it's not wearing shoes. Ve'ema b'menalim ha'matuloi. Maybe it means he's wearing patched up shoes, like torn up shoes, but now he's just not wearing normal strong shoes. Because if you don't say that, Arum Mamish, when it says that he walked around Arum, you think it literally means he was Arum, that he's walking around with no clothing at all? Elabib, Gadim Bluyim. Arum means he doesn't have proper clothing. He has clothing that are worn out. So, Achanami Bimna Alam Hamatulayim. So, over here, also, when we say Yachif, we say that he's barefoot. Maybe he doesn't really mean barefoot. So, we don't see that a person's not allowed to wear shoes at all. So, that source doesn't work either. Ella, the Gemara says, a third possible source. Ella, Rav Nachum Reitzak Mehacha. Mani Raglech Miyachif Gronech Mitzama. That a person should withhold from doing averos so that his legs, his feet don't come to be barefoot. That a person should keep his mouth from speaking dvarim betelim so that his throat not come to become thirsty. But that's where we see that it's a reference to not wearing shoes at all. So that's the Isser of Ni'ilas Sandal. What about the next Inoy? Tashmash Amita Dikri Inoy Minalan. How do we know the Tashmash Amita is called an Inoy, the final Inoy? Dikhsiv, because the Pasuk says, Im Ta'ane Espinosai V'im Tikach Nashim. This is Lavan giving Yaakov talking to about how he better treat his daughters. That if you're ma'ana my daughters, if you do inoy to my daughters, how would one do inoy? How would Yaakov possibly do inoy to his daughters? So Lavan explains, if tikach nashim al benosai, you're going to take other wives. So you see that, and therefore you're going to withhold tashmish amita from my daughters. Im ta'ana means mitashmish. Vim tikach mitzaros. So the way the Gemara understands it is Lavan saying two things. Im ta'ana espinosai is one thing, and the one thing you better not do to them, and the other thing you better not do to them is to tikach nashim, is to take other wives. So the ta'ana refers to tashmish amita, to withhold tashmish, and tikach refers to taking other wives. Vimi idividi mitzaros. But maybe like the Pashtus reading of the Pasuk, maybe the Pasuk is Lavan saying one thing. Im ta'ana espinosai, bye! taking other wives, if you make my daughter suffer by taking more wives. So says Mar Miksiv Imtikach. There's a vav in there, which makes it sound like Lavan is saying two separate things. That there's inoy you better not do to my daughters, and also don't take other wives. Maybe they're both about taking other wives, but one is don't take Bilhah and Zilpah as full-fledged wives, and the other is and don't take any new wives into the fold either. So, but it's all about taking other wives, and it's two separate things. So miksiv imtikach v'imtana, imtana v'imtikach. No, it says tana first. If it would have been about raising Bilhah and Zilpah and about taking other people, it would have been in the reverse order. Amler of Papa Abaye. So Rav Papa asked Abaye, wait a second, we're saying that withholding Tashmish is called Inoy? Tashmish itself is called Inoy. Pasuk says Vayishkavosa Vayyaneh, that Shechem ben Chamar took Dina, and Vayishkavosa Vayyaneh, that itself is Inoy, the Tashmish itself is Inoy. So how can we say that withholding Tashmish is called Inoy? So the question is, what's the Kasha over here. So what are we trying to suggest? So we're trying to suggest that Tashmish is called Inoy, and therefore Tashmish should be Mutar Yom Kippurim. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to suggest. But some of the Achronim rather, but other Achronim say that no, the what we're trying to suggest is that there's a difference between men and women. That maybe men should not be punished. Should be punished for having tashmish, but women should not be punishable. Now, obviously, if a man is having tashmish, a woman is also. So you can't say it's mutter for a woman and usher for a man, because that would be. But maybe it's an inoy for a woman and it's considered a hana for a man. A tashmish itself is an inoy for a woman. Withholding tashmish is an inoy for a man. That might be what the Gemara is suggesting. Samalei hasum she'ina mebios acheros. No, over there inoy means that he was ma'ana her from bios acheros. That once he got her in the mood for tashmish, so to then withhold other tashmish, that became inoy. The inoy itself was not the tashmish. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just answer that there's a difference between tashmish that she was dragged into, like Dina was when she was kidnapped by Shechem, versus tashmish that a person is interested in having, and that would not be called an inoy. But the Gemara for some reason doesn't say that. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. It's also to bathe even part of the body, just like it's also to bathe the entire body. But if a person is dirty, he has mud on him, or he has excrement on him, so then you could bathe, you could wash off that part, and you don't have to worry about an isser of bathing on Yom Kippur. So the Rishonim, let's see the next line. It's also usher to anoint part of one's body like the whole body. But if a person is sick, or scabs on his head that he needs to rub oil on, so then he's allowed to be sach kedarko veinochoshesh. He doesn't have to worry about it. So the Rishonim are medayik over here, the Ritva and the Ran, that there's a difference between rechitza and sicha. Rechitza that's not latainug is mutaras. Sicha that's not latainug is asir. We are only a matir sicha when you have a choler, when you have these scabs, when you have a something like that. By rechitza, even lahavir azuama is mutar. That sounds like it's a less of a need than a chola we're gonna allow rechitza for. So the Ran says from here also that another thing we see from our sugya is that the Rabbi Yasha, by the way, explains the svari. He says because sicha, the mahus of sicha is tainuk, that rechitza can be latinuk, but it can also not be an enjoyment. It could just be something that you need to do. But sicha, by definition, always gives a person a sense of tainuk. The Ran is also medayik from our sugya ta'asa rechitza betzoning, because it doesn't say the Gemara is going to go on to say a little bit later on that even to walk through a river is only mutter if you have to go there to go visit a rebbe or something like that. So the implication is that even though it's cold water, it would still be included in the yisr. He just points out that the Gemara in Tainus doesn't sound that way. The Gemara in Tainus and Daf Yud Gimel and Beis sounds sounds like whenever it's asur mishum tainug, it's only bechamim, but not bitzonein, because there is no tainug bitzonein. So why is it taka asur bitzonein yom kippur? So he says that since it's an isur min haTorah over here, the chamim were more machmir bitzonein. But by tainios, where it's only gezeres chachamim, they were only they didn't asur rechitz bitzonein. That's the rad l'shitaso that the other inuyim other than achilu shtia are also min haTorah. Again, not everybody agrees with that, but the Ran holds that all chamesh inuyim are asur min haTorah. The Ran himself has a difficulty, though. This Gemara poses a challenge. If you hold that all chamesh inuyim are asur min haTorah, if they're all asur min haTorah, how could the Rabbanan make exceptions? You're a little dirty. Okay, so then rochets kedarko. Don't worry about it. You have chatat and brosh. Okay, sach kedarko. If all these are min haTorah, how could they make exceptions? So the Ran says, Inokinami, the etzem inuyim are min haTorah, but masrona kasav lechachamim. The Torah allows the chachamim to determine the geder of the iser based on how the chachamim see fit. Sometimes we have such a concept, masrona kasav lechachamim. The Gemara says it explicitly. I think only it says it really explicitly by melechas chalamoid, where masrona kasav lechachamim that it may be asur min haTorah, but the chachamim have the right to determine what's included in the iser and what's not included in the iser. But here as well, the Ran suggests the same idea. The Ritva says, no, it's not asur min haTorah, and this is the raya that it's not asur min haTorah. If it were asur min haTorah, we wouldn't be able to make all these exceptions. What about the fact that we just spent the last amud quoting psukim for each of the inuyim? What do we need psukim for if it's not asur min haTorah? It's all asmachta. All the psukim are asmachta. What? Yeah, they're all from Navi also, right. So the psukim from Navi are to translate the word, meaning the word is inui. V'nisem es nafsho seichem. So all the psukim from Navi just prove the taich of the word inui, so it would still make it a din nida raisa. Would not be a din nida kabbalah. We also, Sach Kedarka in Achosh Chos Yishanim says, wait a second, what about the gzer of shchika sammanim? How are you allowed to be Sach Kedarka that you're not allowed to do medical therapeutic things in general on Shabbos? Any Shabbos asur lasuch mishum rafua because of gzer of shchika sammanim. So Tos Shanim says that we don't make a gzerim mishum shchika sammanim over here, but he doesn't say why. He just leaves it unexplained. He just says, we don't apply it over here. So the Meiri says we must be talking about that the types of oils that even healthy people would use. That's one of the exceptions to the issue of taking medicine on Shabbos. If it's the kind of thing that even healthy people would take, then it's not, because that's why you're allowed to have chicken soup if you have a cold on Shabbos, even though you're only having it because of the cold. Or you have a hati, even though you're only having, because that's a normal thing that healthy people would have as well. Some poskim say you can take aspirin, because some of the healthy people take aspirin as a heart attack preventer, things like that. So maybe aspirin would be machlo b'riyim. Okay, that's already questionable. But the Rashash says, the Rashash raises the question, but wait, why is it that machlo b'riyim is mutar on Shabbos? Because since it's normal for someone who's healthy to do this, no one is going to be choshesh that you're doing this mishum refuah. So there's no chashash of shchikas hamanim. But in Yom Kippur, sichas asar in Yom Kippur. The healthy people don't do sicha on Yom Kippur. It's only mutter for cholim. So shouldn't we go weiter back to the gezerim mishum shchika sammanim? So he says, maybe enochinami. Logically, we should, but it can't be that Yom Kippur is more chomer than Shabbos. So in terms of the malacha shabbat, in terms of the gezerim shchika sammanim, Yom Kippur can't be more chomer than Shabbos, and that's why we're not going to have such a gezerim shchika sammanim. Tanit be menasha, the first word line. Rishum li alomer madicha yisha yada achas ma'im v'nosenes pas latinok v'nochoshes. A woman who can rinse off one hand and feed her child and doesn't have to worry about anything. That happened once Shammai HaZaken was not interested in feeding with only one hand, and there were gozer that he had to feed with two hands. My time, mishum shivta, because of this demon, this shade that's a ruach ra on the hand, so you don't want to handle food and feed children the food when before you do the netilas yadayim. So Rashi says it's a ruach ra ala yadayim if you didn't do netilas yadayim shachris. So that's why if you're going to feed children, then you're allowed to do netilas yadayim in the morning of Yom Kippur. Tulsa says, wait a second, netilas yadayim in the morning of Yom Kippur you should be allowed to do anyway. What's the difference whether it's lahavir titu tsoa, whether you need to wash your hands to remove a physical type of dirt, or you're being mavir ruach ra? Everyone needs to be mavir the ruach ra in the morning, so that for sure should be mutter. So Tulsa says, no, the issue over here is not about the ruach ra that's on the yadayim, that's on one's hands in the morning. The issue over here is the Ruach Ra on food, that in order to handle food, there's going to be a separate Ruach Ra that one needs to wash their hands for. Tan Rabbanan, Holy Chlachlu Pnei Avav, Pnei Rabbo, Pnei Misha Gadol Menu, Over at Savar B'mayim Menu Choshesh. If someone is going to greet someone, his Rebbe, his father, someone who's greater than him, he can go up to his neck in water and he doesn't have to worry about the Isser of bathing on Yom HaKippurim. Ibailu, Harave Tzal Talmud Mai. What if a Rebbe is going to visit a Talmud? What's the halacha then? So Tashma Gemara says, let's see if we can prove. Dam Ravitza Barbarchana, Anoch Azise Liziri, Da Azal Gabi Ravchia Barashi Talmidei. I saw Ziri go through water to go visit his Talmud. Ravashi Amarahu Ravchia Barashi Ava, Da Azal Gabi Ziri Rabbe. No, you got the story wrong. It was Ravchia Barashi who was going to visit Ziri, his Rebbe. So you can't prove anything about a Rebbe going to visit his Talmud. So at the end of the day, it's in Yibayi the Lifshita. The Gemara is not poshet the suffix whether a Rav is able to go to the Talmud. So the Rif paskins the Chumra because it's in Yibayi the Lifshita. So the Taz and Tafrei Shud Gimel and Sifkat and Vav and Shulchan Aruch says, wait a second. If according to the Shitas HaRif himself, Rif L'Shitaso, only Achilu Shtiya are Asa Midaraisa. The other Inuim are only Asa Midrabanan. Yibayi the Lifshita in the Gemara is a suffix. So the Rif says, I'm going to be machmir mi suffix. L'shitaso. It's an only din drabanan. He should have said suffix drabanan l'kula, and he should have said that a Rav Eitzel Talmud is mutter. And also, why is a Rav Eitzel Talmud any different than Shomrei Peros? The Gemara is going to say later on, Shomrei Peros are allowed to walk through the water to go guard their Peros. That's a tzorech. This is a tzorech. What difference does it make? So he's mitarits that it could be that a Talmud is able to go Eitzel Rav, and that's going to be... That's 100% mutter, but still we're not going to be matir the Rebbe Eitzel the Talmud because we're not going to be matir nisr drabanan mi safek. He says when we have an isr barur, so mi safek we're not going to be matir nisr drabanan. I'm not really sure what that means because again I'm not really sure how that answers the issue of safek drabanan l'kula. But that's how the Taz says. The Levush says that they were not the chacham were just not mechalek, and even if this is what the Taz says. He says, granted, the Talmud could come to the right. He says, this is why the Rif is Machmir. Granted, the Rav could come to the Talmud, but if they want to get together, the Talmud could also come to the Rav. And that's Vaday Mutter. So why would we allow a Suffolk Isser and allow the Rebbe to come to the Talmud if they can get together in a way that's 100% Mutter? Let the Talmud go to the Rav. So it would therefore turn out, says the Taz, let's say the Talmud is incapacitated, he's unable to go to the Rav, then it would be Mutter. Then we'd go back to Suffolk Rabban and Lukula. The Levush says, no, low plug. If we say that it's Asr, the Rif says it's Asr, so it's Asr across the board. Okay, Rava Shar Libnei Ever Yamina Lamavra B'mai Linturi Piri. Rava allowed people from Ever Yamina to go through water even just to guard their peros. Amle Abai L'Rava Tani Demseyela Chav a Brice that supports you. Shomer Peros Over Natzavar B'mayim Vein Choshin. Shomer Peros can go neck high in water and we don't worry about it. Rav Yosef Shar Libnei Tarv L'Mavra B'mai L'Meisa L'Pirka. He allowed them to go through water to go to the Shir. They used to say Shir in Yom Kippurim. L'Meisa Lo Shar Luhu. But he wouldn't allow them to come back. So Amle Abai Im Kain Atamachshil Nasalavo. You don't allow them to come back. You're going to be machshul them lasadava, meaning in the future they're not going to want to go to the shir in the first place, and that's going to be a problem. So yikad amri sharulu lemesi v'sharulu lemesi. Others say that no, he allowed them to go in both directions. And amalei Abaye responded bishlam lemesi lechi to go. I understand. And lemesi my time. Why would you allow them to come back? And the answer was kadesh shalot tehei machshilan lasadava, so that you won't be machshul them in the future that they'll want to go to the shir. Review the Rav Shmuel bar Reviewed avukaymi agudu. The Nahar Paras, Amarva de Chatzta. They were standing on one side of a river. Vavakai Roim Bar Papa Meachis. So Roim Bar Papa was on the other side. Ramalu Kala, Ma'alam Ever Lemesil Gabaych Lemishal Shmaita. Can we cross over the river? We have a Shaila to ask you. We'd like to talk to you. So I don't know why he didn't just scream. Ask, you know. So, I hear your question. So I'm going to review the Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu over Oblavach Lo Yotzi Yodem Mitachas Chafas Chaluko. He says you can go, but you can't be motzi. You can't take your hands out from underneath your shirt because once you lift up your shirt, then it looks like you're carrying your shirt. It doesn't look like a malbush anymore, and you'll be chayv for carrying on Shabbos. Ikad Amri Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Tanina over Oblavach Lo Yotzi Yodem Mitachas Chafas Chaluko. So he says Tanina that we learned that you're allowed to go as again as long as you don't take your hands out. Maskar of Yosef Ubucholke Gavna Mishari, but wait a second, even on a weekday, neck high in water? That seems very dangerous. Are you allowed to do such a thing? Vaksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say Vayimad Al Bama Vyavrain Bimayim Maya Apasim that The pasuk describes that the Malach shows Yecheskel the water that comes out of underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it starts off in the first 1,000 amos that it's just like the ankle deep. Mikan Shemutah Lavala Pasayim. So we see that you're allowed to go ankle deep in water, and that's no problem. Vayimor Elif Evrin V'mayimayim Brichayim. And then we see it goes a little deeper, goes knee high. Mikan Shemutah Lavala Brichayim. So we see that you're allowed to walk in knee high water. That's not considered dangerous. Vayimor Elif Evrin V'mayimayim. And they go 1,000 amos further, and it's waist high. Mikan Shemutah Lavala. So we see that you're allowed to walk in water until waist high. Once it gets higher than waist high, so how does he report? He says, I can't go there. You can't walk in such water. So don't you see that going neck high in water is dangerous? A person is not supposed to do that. So how can we say in Yom Kippur to go visit the Rebbe or to go watch your peros, you're allowed to go neck high in water? That should be usher for a different reason, because of sakana. So there's a difference between going in a nachal and going in still water. A nachal is rapids, so you can't go neck high in water that's moving. That's very dangerous. But you can go neck high in water that's just a puddle, and water that's just sitting there, it's not moving at all. That you're allowed to go in. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll discuss this waterway that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow.